considering the fact that the last of Hilchos Tefillah Shiurim was about 6 weeks ago. So we may actually review something or touch on something we may have spoken about before, so I can't tell you for sure. I think only Rabbi Berg has everything actually.
How can you say Berg's Kriyashma after this month?
Good, okay, great. That's Elliot. Okay, you both came to the same conclusion last night. Okay, so we're going to go back a little bit to the mitzvah of Kriyashma. We spoke a little bit about Berg's Kriyashma in the past, but we're going to go to the mitzvah of Kriyashma itself. So the mitzvah of Kriyashma obviously has its roots in the Torah. I shouldn't say that obviously, because it's actually the Machlekes in the Gemara. The fact of the Torah does describe speaking words, b'shach b'chov kumecha. That, of course, is a din min haTorah. There's no question about that. But what exactly that mitzvah means, v'dibarta bam b'shivcha v'sechel b'shach b'chov kumecha, that's the machlekes amaroim in the third parak of Maseches Brachos. One opinion the Gemara presents it the way we're familiar with, that Kriyat Shema is deraisa. It's a mechuyav min haTorah to say these and these words, v'hoyu advar me'ila, v'dibarta bam b'shivcha v'sechel b'chov kumecha. There's a mitzvah deraisa to say the words of Shema both at night as well as in the daytime. Then the Gemara quotes what seems to be a strange opinion. The Gemara quotes another opinion that says Kriyat Shema is only midrabbanan. That the whole saying of Kriyat Shema is only midrabbanan. The Gemara says that Chapsa Afkamina Ladina, where the Kriyat Shema is deraisa, Kriyat Shema is derabbanan. Afkamina for the Sofek, person doesn't remember whether he said Shema. If you hold that Kriyat Shema is deraisa, then Sofek deraisa l'chumra. If you hold that Kriyat Shema is only midrabbanan, then Sofek derabbanan l'kuli. You wouldn't have to repeat the Kriyat Shema. So the Gemara immediately jumps on that opinion and says Kriyat Shema derabbanan. How can you say such a thing? How can you say Kriyat Shema is the Rabban? So the Gemara gives a very, very cryptic answer. The Gemara says, how about Divrei Torah Ksiv? That Pasuk, Mashal Chov Kamech, is referring to Divrei Torah. It's not referring to Kriyat Shema. What in the world does that mean? So Rabbi Yona, Tamid Rabbi Yona, the back of Maseches Brachos explained what it means is as follows. Of course there's a mitzvah, deraisa, b'shach of kumecha. Of course you have to say, v'hayu advar me'ela sh'arom v'dibarta b'am b'shiftachom v'yisavu v'shach of kumecha. Can anybody say otherwise? Of course that's true. You have mishnayis, you have tanoim, b'shavim, b'shil, you have l'machlekes about how to say Kriyat Shema. Do you have to say Kriyat Shema standing up in the morning? Can you say Kriyat Shema sitting down? Do you have to say Kriyat Shema lying down? Can you say it sitting up? But all of a sudden, the Amoraim discovered that maybe there's no such thing as Kriyat Shema. You have Mishnayis and Mishnayis, Mishnayis, Tanoim, and Psukim talking about Kriyat Shema Deraisa. How can anyone in the right mind say that Kriyat Shema is Derabbanan? So Rabbi Yonah says what the Gemara means is as follows. Of course, there's a mitzvah Deraisa, B'shach Chov Kumecha, but it's not clear from the Pasuk what exactly you have to say B'shach Chov Kumecha. So one Amor understood the Pasuk to mean B'shach Chov Kumecha what? These words, namely the words of Shema. Means that there is a deraisa to say specifically this text of Shema Yisrael. We'll see as we go on, hopefully, how far that text goes for. But there's a text kavua, there's a nisach kavua min haTorah, i.e., the words of Shema Yisrael. That's what Kriyat Shema deraisa means. The words Kriyat Shema derabbanan mean, ha'ubi divrei Torah ksiv. The Torah never says which sukkim you have to say from divrei Torah. You have to say some sukkim. You want to say Bereishis Balakim, you want to say Seres Adibis, you want to be Pashas Vayigash, you pick a series of psukim. Say those psukim in HaTorah every morning and every night. You have to learn. Every morning and every night you have to say psukim from the Torah. That's what Kriyashma Derabbanan means. Then the Chachamim, or Kiveya, the Chachamim determined, they instituted that everybody should be saying the same thing. And we don't want the one guy's reading a Seres Adibis, one guy's reading Matov, one guy's reading Vizas Abrocha. Everybody should be saying the same psukim. That's what it means, Kriyashma Derabbanan. But to say that the whole thing is Derabbanan, that means Bin HaTorah, you don't have to say anything. That's absurd. So this would be a question similar to other mitzvahs that we have. Sometimes we have mitzvahs where there is a text that's set min haTorah. Let's say Elabash Rabichas Kohanim. So the Torah says, yeah, the Kohanim have to give a bracha, these words. Kohen can't decide to give his own bracha. Kohen's going to get up and say, I don't like the words, the tune doesn't fit nicely, I'm going to give my own bracha. You're not going to do that. You're not yet to the mitzvah with your own text. Or well, let's say Arami Aviravi. The person is going to come and bring his bikurim, and he's going to say, "Rami, I just read this 2 weeks ago on Pesach, and I want something more exciting. I'll read Pashas Vayetzi. I'll tell the story about Yaakov Avinu." So that's not acceptable. You have to read the text the Torah is kiveh. So there are certain mitzvahs shebedibur where the Torah gives a very, very specific text, and you have to say the following words. Then there are other mitzvahs shebedibur where the Torah leaves it up to our own wording. Brachas Abazim. There is no text in HaTorah. The Shabbani, Yeshua, Tav, Shadir, Misaka, the text for us that we use, Lamaisa, but that text is only B'dirabanan. Or Kiddush, or let's say Tefillah. You have a lot of mitzvahs like that. That are mitzvahs in HaTorah, and then B'dirabanan, the Chum plugged in a text at a later point. So that's what the Gemara means when you say Kriyat Shema B'dirabanan, that means in HaTorah there is no set words, and B'dirabanan you have to say Dafka these words, but B'diraisi you don't have to. And the other day it says, no, the Kriyat Shema B'diraisi means It's mamish deraisa. It's these words. V'hoyot v'meila means mamish these words. It's like tefillah and mezuzah. Tefillah and mezuzah, you can't pick your own words to put in there. You can't pick your own text to put in there. You have to do the words that appear in the Chumash itself. So too, Krishma deraisa means you have to pick these words also. How do we pask in the halacha? So the overwhelming majority of the Rishonim pask in the Krishma is deraisa. That's how we assume the halacha. Taisa quotes from Rabbeinu Tam that maybe we could pass like the other day. It doesn't mean all that much. Not that much of a difference. In Ruchap and Afkamina, if a guy knows he learned Psukkim and Chumash that day, but he's not sure whether he said Krishma or not. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, you don't have to repeat the Krishma, because Krishma is only derabbanan. But we don't pass like Rabbeinu Tam. Most of the Rishonim and Shulchan Aruch we pask in, you know, when we say Krishma is deraisa, so that means it's mamish deraisa. It means the whole thing, Akam Mikokol, is midiraisa. Vitibat mamishoch mecha means these specific words, this specific text. Now the question becomes, well, which specific text? How much of that text is necessary to be said midiraisa? So here you have a major machlekes in the Rishonim, probably a four-way machlekes in Rishonim, just that how much of Krishma has to be said in the Torah. Why should we start to chisel away? Why should we start to say that there's anything less than what we call Krishma? There is a Gemara at the beginning of the second parak of the second brachas, where the Gemara speaks about how much kavana one requires for Kriya Shema. We'll talk about this a little bit later on. Hopefully we talk about the details of this kavana. But the Gemara draws a distinction between the first pasuk versus the subsequent psukim. The first pasuk, that's the main part of Kriya Shema, and Meika Mikra Adim Lifaskin, that kavana is only ma'akev in the first pasuk of Kriya Shema. So the Rif in the second brachas writes, and why is that? Why is Kavana only so important in the first Pasuk? So the Rif says, because the first Pasuk is the only Pasuk that's Deraisa. When the Torah says, B'shamchov Kamecha, that's referring back not to the whole Parish of Ahavta. It's only referring to the very first Pasuk, the Shema Yisrael. Midrabbanan, we say Baruch Shem also, it's in Moram Sachem, but Midaraisa, Shema Yisrael, Shem Yisrael, Shem Yisrael, that's it. That's the mitzvah Deraisa of Kriya Shema. So that's the most lenient of all the views. So again, we're assuming that Krishma is deraisa against Rabbeinu Tam. Now the question is, how much of it is deraisa? So one opinion is, just Shema Yisrael, that's it. Another daya seems to say that no, the entire first parsha is deraisa. The whole parsha, v'haftas Shem Lekecha, that whole parsha is referring to the mitzvah deraisa of Krishma. And you have to say that entire parsha. And then another day in Rishonim seems to say, you have to say the first two parshas. You have to say V'hayom Shema also. Why? Because it says B'shachov Kamecha in there also. The first opinion seems to say, the second opinion seems to say that if you look carefully at the words B'shachov Kamecha in the first parsha, and the second parsha, they're worded a little bit differently. The first parsha, it's B'lashon Tzivoy, that you have to say V'dibart about B'shachov Kamecha. You have to say it, the Kriya Shema every day. So some of the Rishonim say the whole first parsha is deraisa. Whereas the second parsha, it's more speaking about what you're telling your children. You have to tell your children to say Kriya Shema, to say Tefillah, to say Divrei Torah, whatever the pshat of those pesukim are. It's not so much Petaris Tzivoy, so one could argue maybe that the second parsha is on the Midrabbanan. You have machlokes within the Rishonim who go past the Rif. The Rif had the most lenient view of Kriya Shema deraisa, only the first pasuk. Other Rishonim extended to the first parasha, and other Rishonim extended to the second parasha as well. So this machlokes made its way to the very first Mishnah in Maseches Brachos. The Mishnah opens up in Maseches Brachos by telling us that the earliest time to say Kriya Shema at night is from the time when the Kohanim start to eat Truma, which is Tei Sikichavim, after the stars come out. So the first Rashi in Shas asked the Kasha, how could the Mishnah say that you have to say Kriya Shema after the stars come out? We don't do that, says Rashi. Nobody does that. We daven Ma'ariv early. Nobody waits till it gets dark. So Rashi is bothered with the Kasha. How could we have a Minhag HaOlam? You can't even get past the first Mishnah in Shas. So Rashi says the Minhag HaOlam is based on the following. Says that, when you say Kriya Shema, maybe Od Yom, when it's early, you're not Yotzei Kriya Shema. But everyone's going to be Yotzei Kriya Shema anyway, before they go to sleep. Because the Gemara says he's supposed to say Kriya Shema Lamita anyway. So since everybody's saying Kriya Shema Lamita, so that's good enough for the mitzvah deraisa Kriya Shema. That's Rashi's formulation for what the Minhag HaOlam has been. For hundreds and thousands of years, people have been davening Ma'ariv early. So Rashi says they're never really Yotzei Kriya Shema. They're Yotzei Kriya Shema right before they go to sleep. So Tosfos jumps in Rashi, and Tosfos says, what do you mean you don't say Kriya Shema? In Kriya Shema Lamita, you don't say the whole Kriya Shema. You can just say the first parasha, that's good enough. So what happened to the second parasha? So probably Rashi's response would be that midaraisa, you don't need a second parsha. Midaraisa, the first parsha is good enough. I'm a derabbanan, you need a second parsha. For derabbanans, you can rely on plaka mincha. Derabbanans, you can daven erot. For derabbanans, you rely on benesh mashas. But for deraisas, you have to really be yaitzeh b'shas teis kicham when the stars come out, and that you're going to be yaitzeh with the first parsha. That seems to be shittus Rashi. So the fact that Taisus jumped in Rashi, Taisus jumped in Rashi, and Taisus said, "What happened to the second parsha? Gevalt kishrigin, and you missed the second parsha Krishma." It sounds like Taisus took the second parsha Krishma very seriously. That it was chashash of a deraisa. Again, so far we have within the sheet that Krishma was deraisa. According to Rabbi Yain, according to that day in the Gemara, the whole Krishma was derabbanan. So the shiur is over. Gedam shachris. But according to the view that Krishma was deraisa, so you have the Rif who has the most lenient view that only the first pasuk is deraisa. You have others who extend it to the first parsha, and then you have others who extend it perhaps to the second parsha as well. But l'chora, the one place that we cannot end up is to say that the third parsha is deraisa. That Mamash doesn't make any sense. The third parsha, how can the third parsha be deraisa? Doesn't say anywhere in the parsha anything about Meshach Wolf Kumecha. Doesn't say anywhere in the Chumash to say the third parsha. So the third parsha can't possibly be deraisa.
Harisim also.
Harisim means tzitzis. You have to wear tzitzis with deraisa.
Harisim also
means that the man is tzitzis references to Zman. But it doesn't say anything about any Lashon Hibur or any Meshach Wolf Kumecha in that parsha. So the problem is the Rambam's formulation of Kriyashma. The Rambam, when he introduces it, Kriyashma, so the Rambam writes that Gimel Parshas Elul, the Hein Nikra in Kriyashma. The Rambam writes, it's a mitzvah's estimate of Torah to say Kriyashma. He quotes Kriyashma deraisa, b'shach of kumecha, twice a day you have to say Kriyashma min haTorah. He says, and you want to know what's Kriyashma? Kriyashma is the following three parshas. So the Lashon Rambam is very difficult. What do you mean the following three parshas of Kriyashma? What the Rambam should have said is, Mitzvah Zesim in HaTorah, Likra, Pasuk, Echad, Parshacha, so base parshas. And then with the Rabbanan, you have to say all three parshas. So the Rambam formulates the Mitzvah Deraisa in terms of all three parshas. It sounds like the third parsha is also a Deraisa. Where did it come from? What's it all about? To make matters worse, the Gemara sounds like in Mesechus Brachas that the whole reason for saying the third parsha is because of Zechirah Sitzias Mitzrayim. There's a Mitzvah Zesim in HaTorah to mention Sitzias Mitzrayim every day. There's machlokes hatanoim, what the source of that mitzvah is. Everybody agrees there's a mitzvah. It's not clear where the mitzvah comes from. So the Mishnah Maseches Brachos presents the source of Laman Tizkor, the pasuk that we're familiar with from the Haggadah. Let's take it right out of the Mishnah Brachos. Laman Tizkor, Yom Tzeis, Yom Tzeis, that's the mokho for Yitzis Mitzrayim each and every day and each and every night. But Rashi ala Torah quotes a different pasuk. Rashi in Parshas Bo quotes Zochos Yom Hazeh, Malam Hashem Askir Yitzis Mitzrayim Chol Yom. You learn out from Zochos Yom Hazeh that there's a mitzvah there. I suppose to the Mechilta that you're mechuyev min haTorah to mention Yitzis Mitzrayim. So again, everybody agrees there's a mitzvah there. Isa to mention Yitzis Mitzrayim every day. Machlekes haTorah is what's the moch? What's the source for the did? The Rambam Menuchos Chometz Matzah also has a comment about Zochos Yom Hazeh, but the Rambam has the other comment. The Rambam writes, Zochos Yom Hazeh is the source for the mitzvah of secret Yitzis Mitzrayim on Pesach night. So Machlekes Rashi and the Rambam just had a repshat in the Chumash. Everyone agrees that it's pasuk. It's a pasuk in that film. Zochos Yom Hazeh, we're not sure what that pasuk means. Does the pasuk mean like Rashi's version of the Mechilta to talk about it every day? The Zochos Yom Hazeh refers to secret Yitzis Mitzrayim. Then the Rambam goes on and says, if it refers to Sipat Yis Mitzrayim, so what do you need Vigadat al-Bincha for? So the Rambam explains that Vigadat al-Bincha is really telling me what the Zmana Mitzvah is. Zochos Yom Hazeh, this is unclear when the Mitzvah is exactly. So Vigadat al-Bincha is B'Shah Sheish Matzah Mor Menachem Lefanecha. So the Rambam explains why you need a combination of two psukim. But according to the Rambam, Zochos Yom Hazeh is not referring to the daily obligation, it's referring to the annual obligation. But Lamaisa, the Gemara Baruchah says that the reason why we say the third parasha of Kriyashma is to suffice for this obligation, to fulfill this obligation of Yitzias Mitzrayim. So that's the case. So what does the Rambam put in Hilchos Kriyashma? What does the Rambam say? Mitzvah's essay to say all three parashas. It's not true. The mitzvah's essay is to say one pasuk, one parasha, two parashas at most. The third parasha has nothing to do with Kriyashma. So what's the Rambam sticking it into Hilchos Kriyashma for? Then there's another problem with the Rambam, that the Rambam doesn't count the mitzvah Yitzias Mitzrayim as one of the Tariq mitzvahs. Not that he denies it, quotes it as a din, but he doesn't count it as a mitzvah. So what's going on? Something fishy going on in the Rambam. He's presenting Hilchos Kriyashma incorrectly. He's deleting Yitzias Mitzrayim. He's sticking Yitzias Mitzrayim into Kriyashma. There's a lot of funny things going on. So it said over in the name of Reb Chaim that the Reb Chaim thought that the Rambam meant as follows. The Rambam held that the mitzvah of mentioning Yitzias Mitzrayim each and every day is not a mitzvah b'fnei hatzma. It's not like putting on tefillah. It's not like wearing tzitzit. It's not like blowing shofar. It's not a mitzvah in and of itself. It's part of a pre-existing mitzvah. It's a prat, it's a detail in a pre-existing mitzvah, which would be very good, because the Rabbim in Sefer Mitzvahs writes that he only counts mitzvahs which are independent, freestanding mitzvahs. Any mitzvah that's part of a previous mitzvah doesn't get counted as one of the tag mitzvahs. Let's say you have a mitzvah that has different components to it, so you don't count them as two different mitzvahs. It's only counted as one mitzvah. So the Rambam, when it comes to tzitzis, doesn't count tchelis as a separate mitzvah. He counts it as part of the mitzvah of tzitzis. It's a tenai, it's a condition, it's a part of the overall mitzvah of wearing tzitzis. So the Rambam, when it comes to mitzvahs, has this klal. Says Reb Chaim, this explains why the Rambam formulates the mitzvahs in Kriyat Shema in the following manner. There's only one mitzvah d'oraisa, the mitzvah to say Kriyat Shema. That's the mitzvah. Shachov Kamecha to say Kriyat Shema. One of the details of Kriyat Shema is it's not enough just to say the words of Shema. You have to say Yetzias Mitzrayim as well. The Rambam understood that when the Torah tells us to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim each and every day, it's not as a separate independent mitzvah, but rather it's a part of Kriyat Shema. It's a component of the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. What kind of component of Kriyat Shema is it? Api Drush, Api Machshav, it makes a lot of sense. Rabbi Dan Levi has this famous idea in the Kuzari, that our whole way of understanding, our whole way of acknowledging HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence ultimately was brought about by the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We don't refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Beri Shemayim V'aretz in the Aseres HaDibros, because ultimately the mitzvah of Amunah is not predicated upon Bria Shemayim V'aretz, because nobody was there, nobody saw Bria Shemayim V'aretz. We know that it happened because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us, but we didn't see it with our own eyes. But what we did see with our own eyes was Yetzias Mitzrayim. We did see with our own eyes Matan Torah, so we saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's acting in this world, and from there we're able to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists, and Ramela, then we trust everything that he told us, and he tells us that he was Breishis Barakim, he created Shemayim V'aretz. But the mitzvah of Amun is not formulated in Anechesh and Lekech Shabarasi Shemayim V'aretz. The mitzvah of Amun is formulated in Vasher Tzisichim Eretz Mitzrayim. So that's what Reb Chaim explains here also, that the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema is really the acknowledgments of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence, and Yichudo. The fact that we believe in HaKadosh Baruch, we believe that he's Echad, Shem Echad, that statement of Amun, that's what Shema Yisrael is. It's a statement of Amun, it's a statement of Kabbalah Samalcha Shemayim. So you can't have that statement of Kabbalah Samalcha Shemayim without the proof of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim is part of the story. For a person just to say Shema Yisrael and not to back it up with substance, with Anoich Hashem Lekecha, Asher Zasich Meretz Mitzrayim, So that's not really the mitzvah. The mitzvah is not just time to make a statement in the middle of nowhere, Shema Yisrael. The mitzvah is to be Mekabel Malchus Shemayim and to say why we believe what we believe. We believe the following. How do we know what we believe is true? Because Asher Yotzei Yisrael Eretz Mitzrayim. So the Rambam understood that Yetzias Mitzrayim, Zechir Yetzias Mitzrayim, is not a separate mitzvah. Zechir Yetzias Mitzrayim is part of the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. Therefore, the third parasha becomes elevated to become a deraisa. Therefore, it's not counted as a separate mitzvah. The Rambam stuck it in Tilchus Kriyat Shema, because that's exactly where it belongs. So it comes out, according to the Rambam, is that the last parasha of Kriyat Shema is also a deraisa. So we have all four shitas on the ground. We really have five shitas. One sheet is Rabbi Tam, that the whole Kriyat Shema is Derabbanan, that Midarais, you can say whatever you want, any Pesukim is good enough, Minat Torah. Then you have the next sheet, that Shema Yisrael, one Pesuk is Deraisa. Then you have some Rishayim who say, Behafta is Deraisa. Other Rishayim who say, even Bayom Shema is Deraisa. And the Rambam says, even Bayom is Deraisa. So you have five different possibilities. What exactly, how much does a person have to say, if any, to fulfill the mitzvah Deraisa of Kriyat Shema? The Netziv has a comment about this machlekes of Rishonim, about how much of Kriyat Shema is deraisa. So the Netziv suggests that this machlekes means how much of Kriyat Shema is a person mechuyif to say min haTorah. And let's say a person decides he wants to say more. So min haTorah, you hold like the riff. You only have to say the first pasuk. But the guy decides he wants to finish off the first parasha. He wants to say Vayim Shema. He wants to be here. He wants to volunteer to say above and beyond the call of duty. So the Netziv claims that everybody agrees that whatever adds to the Kriyat Shema, whatever is an elaboration upon the theme of the Shema Yisrael, would in fact become a din berais also. It's not b'toras mitzvah chiyuvis. You're not mechuyif to say more. According to the Rif, the chiyuv mitzvah is only the first pasuk. But mitaraisa, the more you say, the more the merrier, the more you add on, the more it's considered to be a mitzvah. It's also incorporated, it's also classified as a mitzvah deraisa. What led the Netziv to say such a unique idea? So he has a Gemara in Maseches Brachas, but the Gemara in the second Berakah Brachas is speaking about the heter being mafsik in the middle of Kriyat Shema. The famous Mishnah Brachas, you're allowed to talk in the middle of Kriyat Shema if somebody walks in, with their kavim, their yira, giving shalom aleichem, etc. The Rishonim write that we don't do this anymore because we're not so machper and shalom aleichem on a regular Tuesday in the park, so we don't take shalom aleichem seriously anymore, so people don't get so insulted. Or if they do get insulted, we don't care about them getting insulted as much. So therefore, whether rightfully or wrongfully. But Lamaisa, so when we Lamaisa are not Mafsik in the middle of Kriya Shema. But Mikra Din, sometimes you're allowed to be Mafsik in the middle of Kriya Shema. So the Gemara has a question in Brachas Daf Yudalid about this din of being Mafsik in the middle of Kriya Shema. The Gemara raises the question that if this din carries over to Megillah also. Let's say the person is in the middle of reading the Megillah, can he be Mafsik the same way as Mafsik in Kriya Shema? Why should one think that Megillah is different? So the Gemara says, Svaros Lakan Lakan. So one side the Gemara says is, Kriya Shema may be more chomer than Megillah, because Kriya Shema is deraisa and Megillah is derabanan. On the other hand, Megillah may be more chomer, because Megillah is pesum enisa, it's a much higher level of mitzvah. Kriya Shema is just a private, personal mitzvah. So there are sides in both directions. You could argue whether you're allowed to be mafsik or not allowed to be mafsik. The Nevi Yehuda has a famous truva about this Gemara, where he talks about being mafsik in the middle of Kriyas and Megillah for Kiddush Levana. One year, this is the Gabbai's nightmare. It was the middle of reading the Megillah, and all of a sudden someone came running in and said, the Levana's out. They hadn't said Kiddush Levana yet, and the self-smart Kiddush Levana was a few hours later, it was cloudy, they were afraid they were going to lose the Levana. So the Shaila was, can you stop? No, I'm going to know the Megillah. The Lila, who not the Shaila, and now all of a sudden everyone runs outside shul, except Kiddush Levana comes back in. So maybe there's a whole discussion whether you can do that or not do that based on this Gemara. So getting back to that story, so the Gemara has a discussion, is Kriya Shema more serious than Mikra Megillah? Less serious. So in the middle of this discussion, the Gemara calls Kriya Shema Deraisa Pesek. So the Tziv is bothered with the Kashi. What do you mean Kriya Shema Deraisa Pesek? Which part of Kriya Shema is this talking about? So the Rishalmi says that you're not allowed to be mafsik in the middle of the Pasuk Shema Yisrael. If you're saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shema Yisrael, Shalom Aleichem, Aleichem Shalom, Hashem Elokim, that you can't do. In the middle of Shema Yisrael, that everybody agrees you can't be mafsik. So obviously, according to this Rishalmi, the Hefsik of the Mishnah is referring to some subsequent Pasuk. So the Netziv asks, according to the Rif, according to many Mishnah like the Rif, after the first Pasuk is not Deraisa anymore. So what is the Gemara called Deraisa? Why does the Gemara say Kriya Shema Deraisa Pesek? Halal and Megillah derabanan l'kol shekein. What do you mean Kriya Shema Deraisa Pesek? According to the Rif, the only Deraisa part of Kriya Shema is the first Pasuk. And the Rishami says, you're not allowed to be mafsik in the middle of that. So the whole Gemara doesn't read smoothly. So the Netziv says, nah, the pshat is that even though min haTorah, according to the Rif, you only mechuv to say the first Pasuk, but the more you say, it's Halal and Hashem Kriya Shema Deraisa. It's a nitvas as a Kriya Shema Deraisa. It takes on the status of a Deraisa, even though you're not obligated to say so. So where did the Netziv get this idea from? What kind of a din is this? The min haTorah, you don't really have to do it. Min haTorah, you have to say five words. And then you want to say more, it becomes Deraisa also. So the Netziv says this is not unique to Kriya Shema. You have this by many, many mitzvahs. It's such an idea, such a theme by many mitzvahs. That the Torah gives a certain limited amount that you have to do, a certain minimum shiur. The more the merrier, the more you do becomes a labeled as a mitzvah mideraisa. So it brings two rayas, one from Mechus Sukkah, one from Mechus Matzah. So Sukkah is closer to us now than the Matzah. Next Yom Tov is Sukkah, so we have a long while to get to Pesach, so we'll go in order. So when it comes to Chus Sukkah, there's a coming up in Daf Yomi, tomorrow's Daf, next day's Daf, about when you build the Sukkah, so the Schach of the Sukkah becomes Asa B'Hanoa Min HaTorah. Once you sit in the Sukkah the first time, so this night, so if you want to take down some of that Schach and use it for firewood, that's also Min HaTorah. Chag HaSukkah Shivash Om LaShem, it appears in Masechet Sukkah, it appears in Masechet Beitza, there's a Din Deraisa, you're not allowed to be Nana from the Atzei HaSukkah. So the Chalik is a Rishonim, but that's only for the Schach, even for the walls, Min HaTorah, but Lamaisa says, it's a Deraisa, be Nana from the Atzei HaSukkah. So the Rishonim of Ar with the Kasha, when a person builds a sukkah, so he builds a tremendous sukkah, 50 feet by 50 feet sukkah, puts on a lot of schach, and then he sits in the sukkah. So we say that the sukkah becomes asa midaraisa. What do you mean the sukkah becomes asa midaraisa? Min haTorah, you don't need such a big sukkah. Min haTorah, the shiur of a sukkah is 7 tvachim by 7 tvachim. It's a very, very small area. So how does the whole schach become asa b'hanah? Maybe we should isolate only that drop of schach, 7 by 7, that becomes asa midaraisa. What about the rest? So the Netziv writes, no, the Netziv writes in Ochinami, you didn't need more than 7 by 7, but Lamaisi, you built it. You built a tremendous sukkah, 50 amas by 50 amas long and wide. So says the Netziv, you didn't need that big sukkah, but once you built it, it becomes nitvas min haTorah with the Shem Schach. The Shem sukkah is chal on the entire sukkah, even though I'm only sitting in the little corner over there, but the whole schach becomes a Shem Schach with the Raisa, and the Yisra de Raisa being Nenem Yatzia sukkah kicks in. Then the Ritziv has another raya from Hilchos Pesach. He says there's a din that you only have to eat a kezayis and matzah. Halach mashem sinei v'achilus b'kezayis. So the erev tech l'matzah only requires one kezayis. So if you look at Lashon HaRambam and Hilchos Chametz Matzah, the Rambam writes that mitzvah says he lechol matzah b'leochem yishosu v'nisan, v'shachol kezayis yotza. There's a mitzvah there I said eat matzah on Pesach night. And then at the end of that loch, the Rambam writes, so by the way, if you ate a kezayis, you yotze. So why doesn't the Rambam present the mitzvah as mitzvah says say lechol kezayis matzah? Kezayis is an integral part of the mitzvah. The Rambam introduces kezayis kind of as an afterthought. So the Netziv says, you see, for the Rambam, the mitzvah is to eat as much matzah as you can. You eat more, the more the merrier. Every piece of matzah is a gevaldik mitzvah. And by the way, if you ate a kezayis, all right, no, you're yotze the mitzvah. That's the minimum amount you have to eat. Less than that is not even called achila. But the mitzvah says say lechol matzah lechol misha also benisa. That's what some chavrinim write. That's why Chazal instituted that you should not eat too much in Erev Pesach, because you want to make sure you eat not just the kezayis l'teyavon, but that you're so l'teyavon, you're so excited about the matzah, you're such a good appetite, you eat more and more and more, because the more you eat volume-wise, quantity-wise, is a greater kiyum ha-mitzvah. So Kopar, I'm getting back to that story. So the Tziv says this idea that there's a minimum shear of a mitzvah, and then the more you add on to is nitfas as a mitzvah b'deraisa, this is what's going on in Hilchos Kriyishma as well. According to the Rif, the mitzvah deraisa Kriyishma is the first pasuk. That's all, nothing more. Anything else you say, you're not mechuyav to say min haTorah. Even though you're not mechuyav to say min haTorah, but if you say it, the more you say, it's chal on in Hashem Kriyishma deraisa. So the whole first parasha becomes deraisa. The whole second parasha becomes deraisa. The whole third parasha becomes deraisa. Nobody told you to do it. You weren't mechuyav to do it min haTorah. Midrabanan, you have to do it. Midraisa, you don't have to. So once you chose to do it, then it becomes Kriyishma deraisa on those psukim as well. And now it becomes subject to the din of being mafsik for mitzvahs deraisa. So that's what the Gemara Brachas means. Kriyishma deraisa poisek. That phrase, Kriyishma deraisa poisek, is not referring to the first pasuk. The first pasuk you're not allowed to be mafsik in. That's what Yerushalmi says. It's referring to somewhere deep into Vayom Shemoa. What do you mean it's deraisa? It's deraisa because you chose to make it part of Kriyishma. So go back to our original Shas. So we have five sheets in the Rishonim. What Kriyishma deraisa is all about. So Rabbi Natan Paskin, the Kriyishma is not really deraisa. What you have to do is say some psukim. It could be any psukim in Chumash. But the Rabbanan, you have to say dafka these psukim. That's Rabbi Natan Shita. Then you have the Rif who says, the Minatur, you have to say the first posuk. Anything after that is not really chayav deraisa. Kiyam deraisa, not a chayav deraisa. Then you have some Mishonim who say the first pasha. Then you have Tosfos and Brach. It sounds like the first two pashas. And the Rambam sounds like all three pashas are in fact deraisa. Even if you hold, you have to say the first parsha, second parsha, third parsha. You have to say, let's say, the Rambam have to say all three parshas with their isa. Everybody agrees that mid their isa, there's no seder to the parshas. Mid their isa, you don't have to say them in the order that we say them. That's what the Mishnah says in Brachas. Lama makdimim shema to vayom shemoa. Why do we say vayom shemoa to vayomer? So the Mishnah gives all these beautiful hashkafic reasons. I mean, hashkafic less hashkafic halacha, because shema is kabbalah machu shemayim, and this is mitzvah, this is yom, this is lila. The Mishnah gives all kinds of reasons. Then the Gemara gives more reasons, different reasons, why the seder at the varm of Kriyishma is the way it is. But min haTorah, even if you have to say all three parshiyos, it doesn't have to be necessarily in this order. What do you mean it doesn't have to be in this order? Isn't there a din that you have to say Kriyishma laSeder? The Gemara in the second Berakhah Brachas derives from Sukkim. V'hayu advar me'ila, it has to be v'hayu, it has to be v'havyas and yuhu. It has to be in the correct order. So it has to be in the correct order. So how can we be patchkin around with the Seder? How can the Mishnah give you these very, very soft reasons why Shema before v'hayu, v'hayu before v'yomer? The Rishonim writes, I'm akiv anyway. If you say the parsha is out of order, you're also yotzei. What do you mean? What happened to v'hayu? It has to be Bevyas and Yehu. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes in the Rishonim, the answer is obvious, that the din of Ahayu is said within a parasha itself. Let's say a guy's going to get up and he's going to say Shema the following way. Echad, Yisrael, Shema, Elokeinu, V'yahavta, Uchsaftam, Mezuzos, Pesecha, Uksharitam. He gets every single word in. But it's a mumble jumble. Yeah, it's out of order. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, that's what the Gemara means when it says you're not Yotzei. Even though I said every word, but I didn't say it ala seder. But let's say if I said an entire parsha of a Seder, and I said another entire parsha of a Seder, and I said another entire parsha of a Seder, just that I flipped around the parshias, I say Vayoma before Shema, I say Shema before Vayom Shemoa. Lamaisa, in the end of the day, I said every single word, at the end of the day, I said every single parsha, and I said each parsha as an intact unit, but I flipped around the order of the parshas. So the Shulchan Aruch writes about the Yotze. Why? The Mishnah itself says that the whole reason for saying Shema before Vayom Shema is just for these other technical and hashkafic reasons, machshava reasons of Kabbalah Samach Shemaim, before mitzvahs, etc. But Meikar a din of Kriyishma, Vadi are going to be Yotze. So L'chori, you see a Chiddush Gadol, that even though there's a din of Vahayu, there's a din of Alasei there, Alasei that means within a parsha, it doesn't mean Miparsha L'Parsha. It's based on this, that the Taz and Ilchus Mezuzah has a tremendous kula. The Taz writes that there is a halacha that you have when you write Tefillin and Mezuzahs, it has to be written Al HaSeder also. If you write Shalok HaSidron, that parcels the entire Tefillin and Mezuzah. Let's say a sofer wrote three psukim, and then he realizes Gevalt that he missed out a letter, three psukim earlier. So you can't just go and fill in the letter afterwards. That's possible in HaTorah. That's a Ferisha Mechilta. It's a Ferisha Din Shulchan Aruch. It's a Mechilta that it's possible Midaraisa. Somebody wrote a letter to the Chazon Ish, writing, questioning why we should follow this din of Shalok HaSidron. He says, it's not in the Gemara Beferish. It's not explicit Beferish in the Gemara. So he says, how come we follow this din? It's only a Mechilta. So the Chazon Ish wrote a scathing letter back, explaining to him why all the Rishonim quote this Mechilta. Shulchan Aruch wants it. We pass like the Mechilta. The Gemara may say it also. So it's not clear whether the Gemara has it or not. But this is clearly a din. It's clearly a din in HaTorah. It's based on Psukim. And Shalok HaSidron tassels betfilin and mezuzah. So the Taz is a Chiddush. So what would the din be? Let's say a person wrote an entire parasha of Ahayom Shemoah, and then he writes the parasha of Shema in the mezuzah. Or he writes the whole parasha of Ahayom Shemoah, then he writes Kaddish, then he writes Yafiyachim, then he writes Shema. He writes the parashas out of order, but within each parasha, the order was intact. So the Taz of Mezuzah suggests, they say, quotes a Tosfos that seems to say this, that as long as the parasha was intact, so that's still considered to be Allah Seder. And he brings a raya from Kriyishma. He says, Badach, when it comes to Kriyishma, there's also a din Allah Seder. There's also a din derais, it has to be Allah Seder. So if it has to be Allah Seder for Kriyishma, and Afa Pichain, the Shulchan Aruch quotes with the Rishonim, that as long as each parsha independently is Allah Seder, that's good enough. We're not makbar on the Seder parshas, be parsha the parsha. So the same should be true for the din of Allah Seder for the writing of the Tefillin and Mezuzah. That's the Chiddush, the Cheshbet that Taz makes. So the Mishnah Berurah, Nuchas Kriyishma, quotes this Taz and says he thinks it's absolutely not correct. He says it's against Rishonim, it's not correct. Why is it not correct? So the Mishnah Berurah says he thinks there's a big, big difference between the din of Allah Seder for Kriyishma and the din of Allah Seder for Tefillin. What the din of Allah Seder means is that each and every halachic unit has to be Allah Seder. When it comes to tefillin, the parsha, each parsha is not a halachic unit. The entire tefillin is the halachic unit. When it comes to mezuzah, each parsha is not a halachic unit. The entire mezuzah, base parsha, is the halachic unit. So let's say a guy doesn't have the third parsha of Kriyishma. So doesn't have the third parsha of Kriyishma in his tefillin. That's a good thing. He doesn't have the second parsha of Kriyishma in his tefillin. He only found three parshas. So we'll figure, all right, three out of four, not bad. I'm batting 750, not bad. I'll put in three out of the four parshas. He's not yetzi b'chlal. This is a total, complete waste of time. It's a shout of Baal Tigra. It's a total waste of time. Let's say a guy puts up a mezuzah, and it's missing Vayom Shemo. He only has Shema. He didn't have any room in the cloth. It's not such a good sofer. He ran out of room. He doesn't have room for Vayom Shemo. So he figures, all right, no, not, at least I've got a half a mitzvah. Chas v'shalom, it's nothing. It's an absolute waste of time. It's mamish nothing. It's worthless what he's doing. When it comes to Kriyishma, let's say a guy doesn't know Vayom Shemo. He doesn't know Pashi. He doesn't have a siddur. The Chumash doesn't know Vayom Shemo by heart. If you have to, he knows by heart. If you have to, he locked out. His bar mitzvah Pashi is Pashi. The Schan, and that he knows by heart. Vayom Shemo, he doesn't know by heart. So says the Mishnah Berurah, we would tell him not to say Vayom Shemo. Of course we tell him to say, we tell him not to say V'yahafta. We'd say to say V'yahafta, why not? Even, says the Mishnah Berurah, even if you hold that all the parashas are the Araisa, each one is a separate kiyum. Each one is a separate V'shach B'chov Kumecha. So it's not that each parasha is ma'akev one another. You're supposed to say all the parashas. That's the proper way of doing the mitzvah. But each parasha is a unit in and of itself. When it comes to tefillin and mezuzahs, each parasha is not a unit. The chefta shel tefillin is a unit. The chefta mezuzah is a unit. So therefore, the Mishnah Berurah says, the din of Shalik Sidron is established based on what the chefta of the mitzvah is. If the unit of the mitzvah is each parasha, so then Nuchas Kriyishma, that makes sense. As long as you said each parasha Allah Seder, you're okay. Well, let's say the Moshul and Kriyasa Megillah. Kriyasa Megillah, the entire Megillah is a unit. If you miss one word, you're not Yaitzei. So the din of Shalok HaSidron, the din of Allah Seder means the entire Megillah has to be Allah Seder. You can't read Perek Aleph first, Perek Beis then, and then Perek Yud, and then skip back to Zion. I don't mean parak is not halachic breakups anyway, but even within the halachic breaks up of the Megillah, you can't read parashas back and forth, because each parasha is not a unit. The whole Kriyas of Megillah is a unit, or the whole Halal is a unit. When it comes to Tefillin and Mezuzah, the whole mitzvah is a unit. So if a person writes one parasha before another parasha. So the whole thing doesn't make any sense, says the Mishnah Berurah. So you're not going to be yaitzi even b'diav. The tefillin and mezuzah apostle me'ikra did. That's what the Rishonim write, according to Rabbeinu Tam. We spoke about this, we learned about the tefillin. According to Rabbeinu Tam, when you write parshas of tefillin, it's a very, very tricky thing to do. Because according to Rabbeinu Tam, when you write the parshas of the Shalyad, so you start up by writing Kaddish, then you write B'yot Kriyacha, and the next thing you should really write is Vayom Shemoah. Because according to Rabbeinu Tam's parshas, the Vayom Shemoah is before Shema. So you're about to start to write Vayom Shemoah, and then you realize, wait a second, that's Shalok Yisidron. Because Vayom Shemoah is from parshas Ekev, which is follows the Ahavta from parshas Veschanan. So now you're in a problem, according to Rabbeinu Tam. You want to write Vayom Shemoah, but writing Vayom Shemoah at that point would be Shalok Yisidron. So according to the Taz, it's no problem. According to the Taz, as long as the parsha is considered, that's okay. But we don't paskin like the Taz, so what do you do? So the Bishayim already write. But you have to do according to Rabbeinu Tam. It's a very modern thing. You skip a whole space. You figure out how long the Yom Shemoah approximately take. You give a whole long blank spot in the cloth. Then 20 feet later, you write Shema. And then when you're done, you come back and you fill in the blanks. You fill in the Yom Shemoah. According to the Taz, you don't have to play acrobatic games with the cipher. Just write it Kesidron. That's called Kesidron. But we don't pass like the Taz. We pass like the Mishnah Berurah. We pass like the Rishonim writing Nuchas Tefillin. That would not be acceptable. But a whole part of Nuchas Kriyishma would be acceptable. Nuchas Kriyishma, if a person said the parish is out of order, so Mikra, then that would be okay. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, it could be a lot of people always say the parish is out of order. Rabbeinu Yonah writes that when you daven Ma'ariv early, so that you're not really yaitze Kriyishma yet, until Tzeis Kichavim, for Ben Yonah is a chiddush that you yaitze the third pasha of Kriyishma. The third pasha of Kriyishma is a chiddush Tzeis Mitzrayim, and it doesn't say beferish in the Torah to say Tzeis Mitzrayim by Leilos, it just says that Kol Yumecha Yecha Kol Rabbis is a Leilos, so Ben Yonah is a chiddush that Kol Rabbis is a Leilos means, as long as it's almost dark, it doesn't have to really be night, as long as it's on the way, that's good enough. So it's a chiddush on the level of the Araisa, that the standard for Leilos is different than in Kol Torah Kula, because it's only Bitaris Drosh and Apatar. It's an explicit possum. It's a very unique idea Rabbeinu Yonah has. So according to Rabbeinu Yonah, every time a person davens Ma'ariv early, he's yaitzi the first parsha at 7 o'clock, and then before he goes to sleep or later in the night, he says the first two parshas. He doesn't have to repeat the third parsha. We assume you have to repeat the third parsha also, but according to Rabbeinu Yonah, you don't have to. You're reading the parshas out of order. One parsha at 7 o'clock, two parshas at 9 o'clock. It doesn't matter. The Shulchan Aruch says. Because as long as each parasha is intact, each parasha is Allah Seder. So Kol Panim, we have still a five-way machlokes in the Rishonim, how it boils down l'halacha, in terms of what is the real mitzvah deraisa of Kriyishma, how much is necessary min haTorah, can if one adds on, then it's Sivs Kiddush, it's Nitvas min haTorah, and even if you hold that everything is deraisa, but the Seder at Advarim is only ma'akif within the parashas, it's not ma'akif in parashas v'ashal. So next week we'll continue a little bit more in Yoni Kriyishma.